You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Everyone wants to be more organized. You may simply want to decrease the stress of trying to find things every time you turn around. Or maybe getting organized is the first step in achieving some lifelong goals. So you finally decide to get organized. Then you know what happens? You get overwhelmed during the process. Once you get overwhelmed, what happens? You get burnt out. Once you're burnt out, we all know the next step. We just give up on the process and everything you were hoping to achieve, from reducing stress or achieving a larger goal, is gone. Today on Baby Boomer University, we have Erica Herker from Erica Organizes. She's going to give us the insight we need to make the process fun and achievable. So welcome to Baby Boomer University. Class is in session. How you doing? This is Rich Sparks. I'm your host for Baby Boomer University. And like we said, we have Erica Organizes. So Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. And real quick, so I know I've been working in this industry and been working with seniors and adult children for over 18 years, and I found so many people along the way that just shut down. They know that this move is going to take them to a better point in life, but they get overwhelmed on the process. Now, do you run into that quite a bit, or?
All the time. Yeah. It's, you know, a lot of times people don't understand that it took years and years to build their home the way they have it. So they think, oh, in a day or two, I'll just go through and everything will be done. It'll be fantastic. It'll be like TV and movies. It'll be fabulous. But they don't realize that they have thousands and thousands of items that they've accumulated over the decades. And each one of those things has to be gone through. And so it's very overwhelming if you just try to dive in head first with no plan.
Oh, totally agree. Totally agree. And what we're finding now is that so many people are at that point in time in life where they've got to make some major changes so that they can have a pretty happy 50-plus life. So let's start off real quick. How did you get into organizing? Did you come home one day and say, I need to organize?
No, actually, I've always just kind of tended to be really organized and tidy. I rearrange our house constantly, which drives my husband nuts. and that was always sort of my first job whenever I would be working for a company or, you know, switching jobs, whenever we would move, things like that. I would inevitably end up being the new organizer and, hey, this closet is avalanching every single time we open it. Can you, like, fix that? So I actually started in corporate organizing with offices and with productivity for employees. And then transitioned into homes when we were in Arizona with a closet that we can talk about later if you want, the shoe closet of all shoe closets. And then from there transitioned more into working with seniors and families.
Well, let's step back a second because we'll get definitely into more of the residential side. But with corporate organizing, what's the big challenge here? Because there might be people listening that needs this done. What normally would be the process with something like that?
Yeah. So with that, it's a little bit different than homes just because you're dealing with a lot of other people's stuff that's kind of all combined into one space. So a lot of times if people have or companies have merged a few offices together or, you know, a few small companies have merged into one new company, dealing with stock rooms that are overflowing or paperwork that was ignored until the mid-90s, and all of a sudden you need to digitize all that because the federal government says you have to have everything in digital copies. So doing a lot of that kind of thing, if you have employees that are having trouble getting to work on time or they're just not really producing the kind of results that you are needing from them. A lot of CEOs have some email challenges that we go through a lot. So,
oh, I can imagine. Email. My email is a mess.
You are not alone.
Well, the problem is it's so hard. I mean, we have subfiles and all that good stuff, which I'm sure you set people up with. But the problem you run into is I get 140 emails I don't want every day.
Yep.
So do you have any good strategies for getting around that?
So a lot of times people can do what's called automatic filtering. So you can set up rules within your email, especially if you use like a Gmail supported system. They have awesome ways to do it, but I think pretty much every email provider does, where you can have it search for specific words like personnel or, you know, invoices or something like that, and it'll automatically flag those emails for you. You can color code them. You can, you know, have them be sorted automatically to say that they've already been read. You can sort them out for anything that has like an unsubscribe button. So you can just automatically kind of put those to the side and deal with them later. Hmm. And not to be afraid to unsubscribe from mass emails, because you can always resubscribe later if you change your mind.
Well, do you know what's funny? For the longest time there, the big thing was never unsubscribe, because if you do that, they know you're a real human. So you say that's not the case. Go ahead and unsubscribe.
Yeah, go ahead and unsubscribe. A lot of times your email will already have a button even at the top of your email when you're reading it to unsubscribe, and they'll kind of take care of it for you. Otherwise, you can always, you know, find that unsubscribe button. And yeah, don't ever be afraid to leave the list. You can always rejoin the list later if you want.
There you go. There you go. So moving out of the corporate arena. Now, one of the things I found working, because we primarily work with that 50 plus. And here in the last 6-7 years, it has become like a thing. Now we see people coming out of the woodworks. I mean, we see people doing in-home care that there's no licensing required. For your profession, there's no licensing required. And pretty much we're starting to see people pop up that we have to filter through. So what is it that makes you taking it to that next level? What type of professionalism or what type of training have you had beyond just being that person that's tidy?
Yeah, so that happens a lot. I hear a lot of that from clients too, that there's just so many options. And one of the things that people can use as a as kind of a filter are NAPO members. So NAPO is the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals, and we have a Michigan chapter of that here, and most states in larger cities do have their own chapters as well. And I have my code of ethics through them. We do continuing education through them. My life transition specialty badge comes from them. So there's just kind of a little bit of a distinguishing feature there, where we've voluntarily gone in for extra education. We have kind of that backup source support and resources that the average Joe off the street doesn't really have.
Okay. All right. So what would you say is the hardest part of going? How long is it? Was it going online and being, you know, becoming like a minister, you know, 22 minutes or whatever? Or?
Takes a little bit longer than that.
Okay.
But yeah, so you have a few classes that are required. There are three basic classes that are required when you join NAPO to be considered a professional member.
Okay.
They are your code of ethics and then two kind of just introductory classes on how to handle business and how to handle, you know, working with clients in their spaces. And then there are a myriad amounts of other classes that you can take on top of that. So you could
do it
if you just want to do like kind of the bare minimum, maybe a couple of days, then you can be up and running as a professional member. But then you have opportunities to continue to grow and develop your resources and education. So there are three badges. I have the life transitions specialty. There's also a residential specialty and a corporate workplace specialty as well. So there are some options that you can kind of find your niche.
Well, that's very cool. So yeah. Life transition specialist. That sounds awesome.
It is.
So when like you're sitting at a bar and you're having a shot, what do? I'm a life transition specialist.
Right.
So what all does that entail?
So basically it means that I'm there to help people with big changes in their lives. So
okay.
If they've had a move, if they need to downsize, if they've lost a loved one, that's one of the most heartbreaking ones. But one of the things that I love working with people and helping them through that, if they've added to the family or merged families, you know, blended families or new babies, you know, in-laws that have moved into like a mother-in-law suite in the house, like that kind of thing. So kind of helping them bridge kind of the gaps and find everything that they need and get kind of into a settled space where there's peace in the family.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this is a huge growing, a couple of little things on that. One, we deal a lot with probate. So folks going through, and so many times you have the adult children. I know it's slipping down the chair. Picking back up to get to the mic.
Mrs. Kelmel would be horrified if she saw me slouching.
There you go. There you go. But what we found is so often over the last 20, 25 years, you have the adult children that's living out of state. And we actually helped one fellow who was an attorney flying back and forth from Tennessee. And then he found out about what we did. And he called us up and he's like, you're going to arrange everything. You're going to vet everybody. You're going to oversee the process for me. Yep. He's like, fantastic. And are you seeing more and more of that where the, when it comes to those estate type scenarios where the adult children, just geographically, it doesn't make sense for them to try to come here and do all this?
Yeah, it can be really expensive. It gets real pricey real fast to be able to go back and forth like that. And we live in a global world, you know, so in my own experience, my family is all in Iowa. So going back and forth on a regular basis gets real pricey.
Right.
And that
right.
just adds more stress to the situation. Whereas, you know, I can go in, I can find the paperwork that you're looking for. I can check all of the nooks and crannies and false bottom drawers for any little bits and pieces that are missing to help the lawyers get stuff situated, help people with the actual move, get things boxed
nice.
Up, take care of getting donations picked up and, you know, or working with an estate sale company to help get that all taken care of for them.
Excellent. And I think part of that, too, for the adult children, there has to be a paradigm shift. Sometimes in their mind, they feel that they're honoring their mom and or dad by really going through all this unnecessary hassle, that there's people better qualified out there to help them through the process. And let's give them permission today that that's not really honoring them.
Absolutely.
You know, because I'm sure you have, too, where you see people, they just kill themselves because it becomes a second job. It's a huge process. Wouldn't you agree?
I would. And a lot of times it ends up being that they just decide to keep everything because they're so overwhelmed. And so then they're hiring, you know, moving trucks to get stuff back to wherever they live, renting out storage units, or, you know, taking that inherited clutter into their own spaces. And then their space is twice as cluttered because they've got two or three households worth of stuff crammed into their one little house.
It's absolutely insane.
It's crazy.
Now, before we go on, because I'm going to go back to the storage units one second here, because that's a pet peeve of mine. But before we do that, I got to hit you up for some tips. So tip number one, give us a good tip.
Yeah. So as far as, you know, moving, that kind of thing, always downsize before you want to try to do a move. That's something that a lot of people are just like, oh, well, I'll just pack everything and I can just make the decision when I get there. And that just adds more stress. It's going to cost you more in boxes and packing supplies. It's going to cost you more in a moving truck. It's going to cost you more in the guys hauling stuff into and out of your truck. So that's always something that I encourage people from the get-go is to just get rid of as much as you can ahead of time, have a sale, do some donations, and downsize as much as you can ahead of time just to save yourself time and energy later. Something that people don't always think about really is where they're going to keep their stuff. You know, when they come to the new house and then they've got piles of things everywhere and they go, where do I put this? And having a spot that you can put things is always a little bit of a challenge. So putting things where you use them, you know, you should store the coffee and the tea near the coffee pot and the kettle. You know, you should keep the baby bottles near the baby bibs and baby bibs near the baby's high chair, like all of that sort of thing. So you can easily take care of it. You can reach it when you need it. You know, it's just kind of those simple little things that make a huge difference in a home.
So everything needs to have its home, and it has to go back to its home.
Exactly.
Okay.
A place for everything and everything in its place, you'll hear over and over when you're working with organizers.
Lovely. That's awesome. So going back to storage units, because it really is a pet peeve of mine, I had a client here lately. And we went through the process. We set them up with and helped them through. He ended up downsizing, selling his property, but he kept the storage unit that he just had packed. And about a year and a half, 2 years later, he gave me a call. He goes, Rich, you're never going to believe this. I went to my storage unit yesterday because I'm always big on downsizing. Finally, I keep getting your stuff. I went there. I was going to go through it. He hadn't visited the storage unit in years, opens it up, starts removing things. Come to find out, it had been infested by rats. All his items were destroyed. And the way he looked at it is he figures he spent right around $4,000 providing low-income housing to rats.
Yeah, yep. That's not unusual. Yeah, that snakes and rats, they love a storage unit. But yeah, and people don't realize how quickly that adds up for them. And anything can happen to that stuff that's in there. And you really don't have any sort of idea of what's going on behind the door. And, you know, if it's not something that you're using at all, like if you haven't looked at it in 2 years, chances are you can probably let it go without even opening the boxes. Okay.
So is that kind of your rule of thumb if you haven't used it? Because my thing is if you haven't used it in a year, but you say 2 years?
So it depends on the family. Okay. You know, especially for things that are, you know, mom and dad's things, you know, you have to be a little bit gentle with that just because the kids will often have some emotional attachment to that.
Okay.
Personally, in our family, if it's been a year and you haven't used it, it's got to go. There are a couple of exceptions when it comes to like mementos. Okay. And things like that.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times people will think, oh, I'm going to call in an organizer. They're going to make me get rid of everything that I love. And that's not the case at all.
Well,
we don't want you to throw away your memories, but we want you to have a functional space that you can enjoy.
Absolutely. And we talk a lot about repurposing memories and downsizing those memories and actually putting them into a functional format where you can access them and enjoy them. But now, have you come across folks, because I know we have, and keep in mind, I'm on the real estate side, but you know, we're helping them through that process, working in conjunction with folks like you. And have you come across some folks that get very, very touchy about their stuff?
Yes.
And if so, what's your tips on helping the other people in their family dealing with that?
Yeah. So again, it kind of depends on the dynamic of the family. So if it's a husband and wife, it's a little bit different than if it's, you know, dad who is kind of resistant to moving into an assisted living center and doesn't want to start the process because he doesn't want to go
sure.
there mentally. And if you have a situation where it's like husband and wife or there are kids in the family, doing something what I call a date box is really helpful. So we have a specific box and I come with fancy labels, but with labels and everything. We write on the back of the label what's in the box, and we put a date on that box, and everybody in the family signs the bottom of it. And when that date comes, if that box hasn't been opened, then that box goes. I will come pick it up. I will call you the week ahead of time and be like, hey, what day next week works for me to come pick up your date boxes, and we'll take them to donate. A lot of times people just need to have it proven to themselves that they really aren't using their thing. Because in their mind, they legitimately think, well, no, I use that bundt pan every year. Like, that's an important part of my holiday process. And they haven't actually used that bundt pan in 4 or 5 or 10 years. So yeah. That's very common.
Couple years they watch the cooking channel and I'm going to become a cheesecake expert. Let me have that spring pan. Yeah, I was there. I did that. But I'm quick to off things. So, All right. So just a review. Tip number one, a home for everything and everything has to go in its home.
Mm-hmm.
Tip number two, a date box. See, we'll just add those up there, right?
There you go. Yeah.
All right. You know, we used to do something like that with my kids when they were small. If they left their toys out, I'd put them in a bag, put them in an attic, and we called that toy prison. And they had so many days, depending on what was going on. But they had to tell us to bring that toy down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. By the end of the year, about 40% of their toys, it's like they never played with them.
Yep.
So we could get rid of them. It was awesome. Absolutely awesome. So what would you describe, like someone, and kind of just walk us through a quick overview. I call you up, you come to my house to help us organize, you walk in, you shriek in horror, and then what happens next?
Well, thus far, I have never shrieked in horror.
Okay,
so.
Okay. Just
as long as there's no, like, you know, bugs crawling up the walls, we'll be good. But yeah, so I'll come and do the consultation, which is a complimentary meeting between me and the client.
Okay.
And then we'll kind of go through the property, talk about the primary areas that need to be organized. Usually that's like the kitchen, dining room, living room, kind of those communal spaces. And then we'll make a plan for the most important areas, you know, what's your goal, what your timeline is. If you need to move in 6 weeks, that's going to be a different plan than if you're needing to move in a year and a half. So it kind of depends on the availability of the family. You know, a family where you've got, you know, six people living in 3,000 square feet and both parents work full time is going to have a little bit different availability than a senior who's retired and, you know, has more time during the day and volunteers a little bit here and there. So it kind of depends on, you know, what they can do and physically as well as their timeline. So,
okay.
And then we'll get started and I bring the boxes and we go through everything and we'll talk about your stories and all about the memories associated with your stuff and we'll go over everything and
nice.
Find spots for it to either go in your home and in your life or move it on to someone else.
Perfect. Perfect. Now, the National Association of Realtors did a study of everyone that sold their home in 2018, over 30% of the people said the one thing they would change is they would have started the process a lot sooner. Mm-hmm. And I find that too. I mean, when we go to visit someone and we have that initial consultation, we're not like, hey, sign this, let's get on, Let's make a plan for you and have a nice transition. Mm-hmm. And going back to some strategies about repurposing memories, because this is like a hot button for me. I love, we deal a lot with folks doing this too. So I had a fellow, and it was cute. I was giving a downsizing seminar. And the husband and wife, I try to meet people at the door. They come in and they go, how you doing? By the way, the reason we're here is for the free lunch. We have no issues on downsizing. I'm like, fantastic. Come on in, grab a seat. So they sit down. And as I'm going through my seminar, the wife starts doing where the elbow is tucked into the side, but the hand leaves her body and smacks her husband multiple times, right? So finally, I had to kind of call him out on this. I'm like, hey, what's going on over here, guys? Well, come to find out, the husband had, gosh, it was something like 400 or 500 cookbooks. And they were wanting to move to a senior community and an independent living, so obviously a lot less space. And she's going, we cannot take this next journey, this next part, with all these cookbooks. Mm-hmm. We won't have any place to sleep. So we started talking about it with them. And to her, it was just cookbooks. Well, he expressed to me that, sorry, a little side note here. Our FB's not going. Okay. So anyway, he expressed to me, I said, well, do you like to cook? What's your favorite recipe? And he said, jambalaya.
Yeah.
So I picked up my phone, being the smart aleck that I was born to be. I hit jambalaya, and I told him, I got 1.4 million recipes here. But we started talking more about it, and what really came out of it was the only time he cooked was for special occasions. So when his son graduated college, and he was the first person in his entire family that graduated college, they didn't go out to eat. He made a special meal. For his wife's 50th anniversary, didn't go out to eat, made a special meal. So it wasn't cookbooks, it was special memories. Mm-hmm. So the thing we came up together jointly as a group, and it was really cool, was we had to make shadow boxes with the recipe. All you librarians will have to forgive me, but we did tell him to cut it out of the book with pictures of the event around it.
Awesome.
So his new apartment at the senior community, as you walked in, there was 12 black shadow boxes with the recipe and all the pictures of that event. So every day he got to relive those memories that had been crammed away. And I'm sure you come across stuff like this yourself. So share with us one of your good ones.
And I love that idea of doing the shadow boxes. That's awesome. It's a great way to kind of
get both
sides of everything. So it depends a lot on on the families again, but doing things like only taking your favorites. So especially with cookbooks. Cookbooks is a huge thing. And I am a book lover, and please, book lovers of the world, don't lynch me for this. But definitely, either make a copy of that one recipe or two recipes and use it like a binder to kind of keep just your favorites. Because a lot of times it's the you buy the whole book for two or three recipes.
Oh,
and
sure.
So if you can just cut those ones out or make a copy of that page and
digitize them.
A lot of that kind of thing is awesome. But I see a lot of people with like the military service. I work with a lot of military families. So all of the I don't know if you're not in the military realm, it's called fruit salad. All of the badges and everything on the dress uniforms. So we do a lot of shadow boxes with those.
Nice.
Pictures of Navy servicemen in the ship that they were on. Pictures in kind of a. Not a shrine. The word that's coming to mind is shrine, but that's not what I'm trying to say. In just like a memory box in a special moment where you can go to it when you want to see it, but it's not going to constantly be something you're tripping over.
Right.
So
for sure.
Framing it is great. Doing some sort of like a digital option is great. They've got awesome digital picture frames now that you can get all kinds of fun stuff on.
Awesome. Well, we'll be right back. We're going to go for a second to one of our sponsors, Time to Downsize. Then we're going to come back with Erica, and she's going to give us the number one secret to your organizational needs. So come back. Make sure you come back.
Judy, you look overwhelmed.
Trying to take care of my old house is quite a challenge.
Time to downsize.
I know. That's what everybody says.
Oh, no, Trudy. Time to Downsize is the free real estate relocation company Bob and I used when we sold the Colonial and moved into this condo. They helped us find a great real estate agent and helped us every step of the way. We have a brand new life.
I'm calling Time to Downsize today.
Call 248-480-7700. And we're back to Baby Boomer University. And if you're just joining us, we have the wonderful Erica Herker from Erica Organizes. She has been taking us just through a tremendous amount of tips and tricks to getting your life organized so that you can move on and achieve all those things, even if it's just simply not tripping over everything as you walk in the house. So we were talking a few moments ago, Erica, about strategies for handling different types of things. We talked a little bit about shadow boxes, digital. I love it when folks digitize it. A lot of times we'll have adult children digitize for their elders. And pictures, that's another one. Oh my goodness. Do you remember back in the days where you would get a roll of film, 36 photos, and 35.9 of them, 9% or 35.9 out of the 36, what's the word? Sucked. But luckily, they gave us picture it. So then we got 72 junky photos, and you couldn't throw them away, right? So what's some good tips for folks as they're going through those photo albums, knowing that probably about 90% of them should go off to the great photo place in the sky.
The great scrapbook in the sky.
That's it. There you go. I love that.
So there are actually some photo organizing professionals that specialize in just photos. So if you have a lot, I would definitely recommend, giving a call to a specialist who can help you with those kind of massive amounts. But for the average family, going through and throwing away any photos of people that you don't know or places that you don't remember.
Right.
A lot of times, at least when I was a teenager and back in my day when we still had the film and the cameras.
Right.
we had, a lot of photos where we were trying to capture the dogs doing something adorable. And so you've got 15 copies of essentially the same photo where it's just blur. So like those kinds of things, to just let those ones go and just kind of culling it down from there. And then digitizing, scanning, using a digital photo frame, doing some scrapbooking, making it into like a family project. And my family, we have a lot of photos and a lot of really old photos. So we made a huge mural. It's like a 40 by 60. It's gigantic. Mm-hmm. And we made a collage with all of the like irreplaceable ones after we made a digital copy. So that's kind of a cool option that you can do. And then you aren't losing it. But again, you're not tripping over it. It's not taking up a bin in your closet.
So. For sure. I know some of the times we've had people, and here again, that whole concept of repurposing, we've had several clients take their like favorite 20, 30 photos and do photo blankets. Mm-hmm. Which is very, very cool. That way they're kind of wrapped in all this.
Yeah.
We've had other people, and I'll tell you, one of the tips we give folks is if you have a lot of that stuff and you take it and you put it in a nice box and you wrap it real pretty with some type of gift wrapping, have family and friends over, give it to them, they'll take it away. They never question it. From me to you, why did mom give me 5,000 photos of people I don't know?
Yep.
But they're never going to question it, right?
Right.
So totally love that about if you don't know it, get rid of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's a lot of times, it's especially for people who have inherited that kind of photo clutter. A lot of times it's pictures of mom and dad's friends from high school, or they met these people randomly on vacation and they had a great time for a week and a half together and they never saw each other again. So it's not something that you really need to treasure. It's not a treasured memory.
Sure.
And a lot of times, if you don't need it, get rid of it.
No, I'm totally with you on that. So moving on down the road, because we've talked a little bit about photos, some personal items, and the military is I'm ex-military, and I know a lot of the elders and baby boomers we've worked with
Like I still have my uniform. Okay. The odds of that uniform ever going on this body again, I could hit the lottery first. Trust me, it's never going to happen, guaranteed. And what I was telling my wife is what I'd like to do is take, because I'm Navy, so we had the little, you know, flap in the back thing. I would like to actually cut it up, make a backdrop, and then just put some of my favorite photos in it. She's adamantly against it.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. She's like, no, we must keep this forever. And I don't know why. So what do you do in that circumstance when you have a husband and a wife with two different viewpoints on it? And in your heart of hearts, and I'm going to put you in a corner here, you're agreeing with the husband, wink, wink. How would you handle that situation?
Yeah. So I think kind of trying to figure out why she wants to keep it so desperately. Like, is there some sort of memory that she has associated with it? Or is she worried that by getting rid of it, you're going to regret that later on? I see that a lot where people will have like kind of phantom regret on behalf of their family member, like especially with parents and kids artwork. That's another big one. Like, yeah. if we get rid of it, you're going to regret that later on. So figuring out what the stumbling block is there that she wants to keep it and why that's so important to her to hang on to, and deciding if it's really worth the marital battle.
Yeah.
You know, I use a lot of the like Ziploc space saver bags. Mm-hmm. You can hang it up. You can suck the air out of it and it takes up about half an inch in your closet.
Right.
So it's not really one of the things that's going to be worth having a huge marital sure. spat over. but on a side note, I'm totally on board with keeping the flap and donating the uniform.
Right. Get rid of it. Now, have you found this, though, that you coming in to that type of relationship as a neutral third party, that people are more conducive to coming to an agreement versus – have you found that to be the case?
Absolutely. So it's always funny to see when you go in and people are like, oh, we've been fighting about this for weeks. And then the spouse that's not wanting to do anything, like, oh, yeah, no, we can totally. Yeah, just get rid of that. It's fine. Whatever. Yeah, totally. And it's just one of those things where you don't want to be the one in the new situation with a stranger in your house going, no, we have to keep all of those empty milk cartons. We definitely need
right.
them.
Those kids might come back one day. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just kidding. We got to have those photos. Yeah. Now, some of those things like, oh, this, you know, commemorative NASCAR plates, they're going to go up in value one day.
Yeah.
Only 2 billion made. No, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. So. A lot of China. That happens a lot with China as well. People
okay.
who just love the value that they think their China is worth or
oh,
their
my goodness.
Beautiful big brown furniture that they are sure is going to fund their retirement. And it's
yes.
unfortunately not always so much.
Yes. A little side note to our listeners, furniture has very little resale value. But going back to the China, because we run into every one of our downsizing moves, China always comes up, and we're talking about the plates, not the country, just to clarify. but anyway, so tell me some of your tips in dealing with the China, and I'll tell you some of the ones we've used in the past and see what we come up with here.
So my favorite thing is to tell people to use it. Like, it's a plate. You can eat off of that.
Okay.
You can put it in the dishwasher. And you know what? If the pattern goes away if in the dishwasher, it's still a plate that you can use. It's still a beautifully made, crafted, handcrafted item. But a lot of people are afraid to use their china because grandma said, only use this if the Pope comes to town and comes
right.
to dinner.
Right.
And it's kind of that perceived value where it's actually becoming more of a hindrance to your whole family because you're now losing at least one full cupboard in your kitchen, if not a whole china cabinet of storage space.
Oh, for sure.
And it's something that is intended to be used. It's intended to you know, okay. see the table. It's intended to be spilled on. And it's kind of doing the china itself a disservice by refusing to use it. So that's my favorite is to just
okay.
use it. And that like kind of you should this look of shock on people's face. They're like, but it's China. Like,
it's
I can't
China.
Use it. Right? Like, it's fine. Chances are I've actually never had anyone put it in the dishwasher and then have it come out having lost its pattern. A lot of people are terrified that will happen.
Oh, no.
And it's actually much more rare than people think. But also doing things like if you have a couple pieces that you have special memories,
okay.
keeping just a few pieces,
mm-hmm.
you can do beautiful, you know, plate displays and things like that on the wall.
So
using
you're
the
telling me
space.
Here we can break a set?
You can.
Oh, my goodness.
You can. And worst case scenario, chances are good you can probably find a replacement piece if you break it. doing things like borders and gardens, you know, getting kind of crafty with it.
Cool.
You know, there's like the little suet bird feeders with the teacups, you know, candles, making the teacups into candle holders. There's a lot of options that you can you can use it to make it functional.
Now, we've had people, and here again, usually I'm at the closer point when they're getting ready to downsize, but we've had people going back to the shadow boxes, literally take their favorite tablecloth for a backdrop, taking pieces of the china, super gluing them together, mount them into a shadow box with photos of various events, and donating the rest. Because at the end of the day, if you're moving into an 800 square foot, the odds of you having 22 people over for dinner are just pretty daggone slim. And if they do get 22 people over, you're going to want to just, you know, get them out as quick as possible.
We're going to need to book a restaurant party room.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, that's a big thing that people have a hard time with is if it's a set of something and breaking that set. You know, we've had that with people that collected Boy Scout patches, folks that, oh my gosh, china is always a big one. Comic book collections, sports card collections, where they would have a whole run or set of something. And, you know, sometimes there are some value there, but a lot of times there wasn't, but they just didn't want to break that set. So what would you suggest? Like, do you have any suggestions along that lines to...
So it kind of does depend on what the collection is. You know, if you've got a collection of like rare books and things like that, chances are that like a library would be able to use that.
Okay.
Or there may be a collector that you can sell them to that will still keep the set together. It depends a lot on what it is. So things like comic books, I actually love incorporating those into like wall decorations. You can do collages, some really cool stuff
here.
With that. And then you can still get it down off the wall and read it if you feel like it. You can rotate them out if you want. But again, just kind of trying to get yourself to the point where you can keep your favorites and not have to keep every single one ever made.
Yeah, and having them out where you can actually enjoy them. That's really a big part. But no, I totally agree with you. Donating is a wonderful thing. The fellow, one fellow we had with Boy Scout patches, he ended up donating them to a Boy Scout museum. He can go and visit them anytime. He will actually volunteer his time there.
Yeah.
And it's very cool.
Boy Scouts, that's one thing specifically with Boy Scouts and with anything that has a, like a uniform. A lot of times people don't realize how expensive that stuff is. And a lot of lower income families, they can donate those to them specifically.
Absolutely.
So you can donate them to your troop. And then if your troop leader knows of a specific family or a scout that can't maybe quite afford to buy a new uniform or like those socks that they have to wear are super expensive. You'd be shocked at how expensive those green
master.
Socks are.
Yeah.
We had them. We got married at Boy Scout camp and all of our all of our groomsmen, except one, had the socks. And
oh, how
they are
funny.
Pricey. But yeah, so being able to give them to someone else that can use them immediately and knowing that they're not just going to be thrown into the trash is a huge incentive for people to be able to let go.
And that is a great point, especially with any of the uniforms, because I am a scoutmaster for Troop 1402. My son's this close to being an Eagle. Go, Nico. And people that donate those uniforms, we have a uniform closet, and we take them around to various communities. And I'll tell you what, it is a game changer. And oftentimes for families, it can make the difference of their kid being able to participate in that activity or not. Because that initial startup cost is high for all the scout stuff. And I'm sure the same way with Girl Scouts and American Heritage Girls and all those things. So yeah, if you can recycle, redonate. Is that your tip number three?
Donate.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think knowing where it's going is a huge incentive. I have worked with a few clients who were really resistant, especially when it came to like clothes, to part with anything until they realized that that the donation source that we had coming to pick them up and that needed them was actually going to use them and provide to the community with them and not just, you know, throw them away or, you know, use it to fill a huge bonus for one of the corporate execs.
Right.
So, but yeah, I actually work almost exclusively with Veteran Charity Services for all of our donations. They come do pickups, and they're almost entirely military. All of the guys that come out, they'll send in the Marines to come clear out any of the furniture that's too heavy to lift. And they're great, and they do a lot of work here locally in Michigan. So a little mini plug for them. I work a lot with them, which is an awesome organization.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. And if you're out of the Michigan area, you can reach out to time2downsize.com, and they will find you folks that are NAPO certified, even if it's in the Napa Valley. No problem. But I love using the veterans also for the donations and such. Now, we have found, and tell me if you're finding the same thing, that a lot of the donation centers are starting to get kind of full with stuff.
The Marie Kondo effect.
What is it?
Marie Kondo. So the TV show on Netflix is tidying up with Marie Kondo. She does the KonMari method. She's a Japanese tidying expert.
She's
adorable. And she has a method that helps people kind of DIY their downsizing.
Really?
And so the show hit Netflix, I think, at the beginning of January, and thrift shops have just been inundated with donations, which is awesome. And a lot of them have had to like put a pause on receiving donations for a few weeks just because there's just so much stuff coming in. But yeah, it's a great problem to have.
Yeah. I had no idea what you were talking about there.
Surprise.
Right. Well, that's very cool. All right. So now, what would your perfect client look like? So someone, and I think a lot of folks, I don't need help. But quite frankly, we've worked with a lot of people, because I've been doing this for 18 years, that having a third party involved that actually knows what they're doing, not just, Sally down the street that says, let's buy 5,000 Tupperware dishes and we'll pack it with everything. Yeah. But what's that perfect person, and when should they bring you into the fold?
Yeah. So the sooner the better, really. It is one of those things that can kind of spiral for people, and then it just becomes so overwhelming that they just kind of shut down.
Okay.
So the sooner the better. I work with a whole range of clients. So I work with the senior market, who typically have decades and decades of accumulated memories and clutter, people who have the over-containerized clutter where everything's just been neatly packed into a closet and it doesn't avalanche when you open it, but you still can't find anything. On average, we shoot for about 2 minutes. Like, you should be able to find whatever you're looking for in about 2 minutes. And if you can't, chances are good you've got a little bit of a clutter problem going on. Working with families that are just busy and just busy living life.
Okay.
And they just are tired of not being able to find the Band-Aids when they skin a knee, or, they can't get their junk drawer closed because it's just overflowing.
Or they have multiple junk drawers, like 90.
Banish your junk drawers. America, banish your junk drawers. Life is better without a junk drawer, I promise.
So what I hear you saying is this, that you don't have to wait until you're ready to move to go ahead and get you in.
Mm-hmm.
Let Erica help you get organized.
Yep.
So you can enjoy, because quite frankly, you will save so much frustration in life. You will quit going to Home Depot and buying the same thing that you knew you have, but you just can't find.
Mm-hmm.
So you can come in that process that it's not really a matter of, okay, we have to get organized because we're going to move. But it can be, we need to get organized so we can improve the quality of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's something that people a lot of times just get frustrated because they can't find what they're looking for, and then they go buy another one.
Sure.
Especially with shoes and like specific outfits.
How do you not find your shoes?
So one of my first organizing clients, my first residential house, actually, I got a call in the middle of the night because she had lost her Manolos in her closet. And I don't know if you're a shoe guy, but Manolos are about $1,000 a pair.
Wow.
And so I went into her house, and she walked me into the master bedroom, kind of ensuite closet and bathroom all in one type of thing. And the jacuzzi tub is full of shoes. Like, it's full, like, you can't tub. There's no bathing in that tub. It's full of shoes. And then into the closet is also just a wall of shoes. And what would happen is that she would lose the shoes that she was looking for. And so she'd just stop by the shoe store on the way to whatever her event was and pick up a pair of what she wanted. We had a lot of shoes that we went through. A lot of black high heels, Wow. So many shoes. We did find the Manolos, by the way. But yeah, she ended up keeping about 246 pairs of shoes. She had quite the collection.
And how many did she get rid of?
Probably about at least, I would say probably 200 at least. Yeah. Wow. She had a lot of shoes.
Wow.
Years worth of shoes.
That's okay. If you like shoes, you like shoes, I suppose.
Again, whatever your passion is, you know, we don't want to throw away your loves of your life, but it wasn't functional for sure for her.
Oh, my goodness. All right. We'll be right back to Erica. I'm going to give you a quick real estate update. And this is from Rich Sparks, Rich Sparks team of Keller Williams Realty. According to the National Association of Realtors, median home price has increased to $257,700. Now, that's up about 1% from last month. And that's up right around 4.2% from the same time last year. National average for a 30-year fixed rate mortgage is up from last month to 4.87%. So we are starting to see mortgage rates increase a little bit. We're starting to see a little more inventory on the market. And average sales prices are starting to creep up, but it's slowed down quite a bit. We're not going to be getting those big 8, 9, 10%. So if this is your year and you're thinking about selling your property and downsizing, give us a call. We'll set you up. We'll get Eric in there to help you. And this is probably a great year to do that. If you're interested, we do have some free buyer and seller guides, and you can get those on richsparks.com, richsparks.com. All right, let's go back to Erica. We got a few more minutes here. Oh, that's not the class bell. That was an accident. But let's go back and ask Erica those hard questions. All right, Erica, give us your three best tips.
Number one, banish the junk drawer.
Okay.
Junk drawers are not necessary, and they end up becoming horrible clutter spots.
Oh, you know, you just went down on my wife's scale. Seriously, she loves her junk drawer.
I am all in favor of a utility drawer, but the junk drawer is not helpful to anybody.
Now, is this a renaming of a drawer, or is this an actual thing?
It is an actual thing. So the difference basically between a utility drawer and a junk drawer is the utility drawer has assigned spaces for specific items. So, you know, when I go into houses, oftentimes if there are kids, I find shoes or socks in the junk drawer. Which obviously no one thinks that that belongs in the junk drawer, but that's just where it was most convenient right. When mom was cooking dinner and the kids were, you know, running around like little monsters all over the place. So having specific items that are allowed and specific items that are not allowed, keeping like I use a lot of those little bamboo boxes and kind of Tetris them all in there together so that you can't spread things out. It doesn't the spread of clutter doesn't happen because it can't. There's no spot for it to bump up against because it's in a box or it's not in the drawer. So that's one that's really handy that I actually use personally.
One.
Yep, I love it. It's great. Life is so much better without a junk drawer. Another thing would be to use your vertical space. So a lot of times people think that they can only use drawers. They can only use, tabletops for all of their clutter. And it ends up kind of overflowing and you'll have kind of avalanches of stuff, especially paperwork, that kind of thing. So using vertical space.
That kind of piling type going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Until you need that one that's halfway in and you try to just pull that one little piece of paper out right. And the whole thing goes whoosh. And then you're up a creek. So using things like the vertical wall systems, a command center type of thing, if you have a lot of mail that needs to be sorted, keeping it easy for the family to use. Everybody in the family needs to know how the organizing system is going in the house so that everybody can be part of it, so that the kids don't come home and just like throw a bunch of paperwork at you and then go off and play Lego.
Well, that's a great point, actually. You put in a good organizational system, but if you don't share it with every member in the house, it's pretty much doomed to fail, wouldn't you think?
It is. And what happens is usually the mom or the dad, whoever is kind of the motivated person to organize, ends up trying to carry it all themselves. And that's just too much effort. Like, that's so much work for someone to have to do, especially if you've got multiple kids, you've got, you know, babysitters coming and going, you've got other people, you know, kind of moving through your household. It can just become an absolute nightmare to have to try to figure that out. And then a lot of people don't realize, but a lot of times kids, when they and then grow up and go to college, then they don't know how to organize.
Right.
So that's, I work with a lot of college students or people who have just left college who don't understand that, no, you can't leave class at 4 o'clock and start work at 4 o'clock. Like, you got to have some transition time there. So doing that kind of stuff early on, just kind of helping them build those habits, and then that'll lead into adulthood and make it easier on the whole family.
So I got a great example of that. So I hate sock baskets, okay? My wife will say things like, they're just separated, and I have to say, no, honey, I think they're divorced. I think the other sock moved to Miami. And so I came up with a system. I bought paper clips, you know, the little clamps. Mm-hmm. Each of us got a different color. And I'm like, just clip your socks together. They go in, they come out. So what happened is I was the only one to do it. So now they all go to my sock drawer, right? And this is just so here again, it's one of those things where if everyone's not on board, but it is funny seeing your, you know, 16-year-old son with his high tops wearing a pair of dad's pink and gray dress socks out to school. So, okay, that was two. Give us number three.
Okay. I would say, you know, probably keeping so many options. I'm having brain fart. I would say probably really analyzing what needs to be organized. So okay. Another problem that people kind of overcompensate when they're trying to conquer their clutter situation is they try to overcomplicate the system and do everything really, really fancy. They try to like make their linen closets, for example, into a Martha Stewart shrine.
Right.
And that's just not really worth it for a lot of people. Like I refuse to fold my sheets. It's not worth it to me. But my pantry, my laundry room, and my linen closet is still well organized. So kind of analyzing what is worth your effort and what really isn't worth your effort.
So prioritizing it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. A lot of times, you know, you don't need a super refined and detailed filing system for your mail unless you're running a corporate office out of your home. You know, but people have these like massive drawers full of, you know, massively subcategorized folders for each little piece of mail that comes in. And it's just too much work.
Okay. So real quick on that, I had a client one time. He lived in his property 58 years. He kept meticulous records. You could say to him, when did you buy that toilet seat? He would pull it up. He had it cross-referenced, and he could say, 1952, I paid $2.42 for it.
Yep.
And he's like, do you need all these? no, I'm good. But we have to wrap it up. We had a great night. I appreciate you coming on so much. We had some awesome tips. We're going to break down these and redistribute them back out. And I want to let everyone know that this is going to be a weekly podcast. Next week, we have an awesome guest, so you'll have to turn in too. Her name's Angela Green from Hospice of Michigan. Now, she's going to teach us what we need to know before the time we need to know it, because that's the thing with hospice, right? And I've had very little experience in that. The downsizing and organizing, I'm pretty hip on. I've really enjoyed this. But the hospice one, I'll be sitting there going, okay, what do I do next? What do I do next? So make sure you turn in 1 o'clock on Wednesday. And a big thank you to Erica and Erica Organizers. Erica, why don't you tell folks if they need you, and they do need you, how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, so you can find me a few different ways, on Facebook at Erica Organizes or online at ericaorganizes.com. Or you can email me at erica@ericaorganizes.com. And you can always find me via NAPO's website or NAPO Michigan as well. You can search online for professional organizers, and it should come up pretty quickly in your list. But yeah, National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals. You can find somebody, even if I'm not in your area, you can find someone that's just as good.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate you, and I think that is... The bell class is over.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks.